an opportunity that's not consistent with the intent of this.
Okay.
I think that was the thinking around hydrogen.
So we could put hydrogen in as long as it's not a natural gas feedstock. Hydrogen power derived from a renewable resource.
Okay. It uses more energy than it gives.
I think the other issue with hydrogen is that, like electricity, it's an energy carrier. Mm-hmm. And so it's all about what the original source of the energy is, whether it's ancient sunlight
I'll
or
accept
current
that maybe
sunlight.
We don't want it from natural gas, but I also accept we shouldn't be limiting ourselves to technologies that are on the future, albeit maybe the distant future, but 2050 is also the distant future. So I don't think we should be limiting the possibilities of how we may achieve 100% renewable energy in the city of Portland.
So. Yeah, and I guess my point is hydrogen, nowhere in here do we spell out all of the different kind of energy carriers, the different ways energy can be conveyed, and hydrogen is one of those. So it's not excluded here. It's not specifically singled out, which I think is your point, and I think that's fair.
If I could also just add some color commentary, because there were lengthy discussions about the unforeseen technologies of the future. And I'll just remind people that while this resolution is intended to be as close to perfect, and I'll use Bob's word, inspirational, as possible, it will likely be amended in the years ahead as new technologies come online, as new ideas come forth that are renewable that we haven't yet been able to anticipate. And so I'm hopeful this isn't closing any doors with regard to future innovations, ideas, or technologies around renewable.
Well, and if it's not excluded, and if at some point there is a path forward to a renewable version that meets our standard, we could either acknowledge that at that time, or it would not be at odds with our thing. So I'm loath to put in something without understanding all the consequences, particularly since it's not excluded. So.
Also, thank you.
Well, I guess I'm still hung up on this because it does specifically exclude energy derived from fossil fuels. So any hydrogen derived from natural gas would not be included, but hydrogen derived from a renewable source, I think, should be included.
And as I read it, it is.
No, I don't see it in the renewable energy. I guess I would suggest we put renewable energy includes energy derived from hydrogen, wind power, solar, low-impact hydroelectric, geothermal, and ocean wave technology sources.
But didn't we just establish that there is no renewable method currently?
You can. I think the issue is it's, you can take water molecules and break them into hydrogen and oxygen using solar power.
Okay.
That is a renewable fuel getting to the hydrogen, which is the energy carrier. That's not excluded here. Because you're using solar power, and then you're working through your chemistry, and you're getting to an energy carrier that happens to be hydrogen. We also use electricity. Those electrons are doing the work in that case.
Electrons.
But we don't call out electricity either. And so I guess my point is this is not getting into all the different ways that energy is conveyed or carried or stored. It's trying to get to what are these sources of the energy. Mostly which boils down to, is it, because it all comes from the sun, right? This is everything. And the question is it current sun or is it ancient sun? Because the ancient sun is all stored in fossil fuels. And hydrogen is, it's sort of none of the above. It's simply a mechanism. And we don't spell out the other mechanisms.
Mayor,
we're going to follow Bob Salinger's advice and be inspirational. I would argue hydrogen should be in there.
Mayor, Dan has proposed an amendment. Let's just see if there's a second. And if there's a second, let's put it to a vote.
Dan, could you restate the amendment, please?
To insert the word under renewable energy, includes energy derived from hydrogen. That's the amendment. And then it would go on to read as normal, wind power, solar power, biomass. I'm not biomass. My glasses on here. Oh, geothermal and biogas and ocean wave technology sources. I think that is really sort of the inspirational type of inclusiveness that we should be looking at in terms of how we're going to achieve 100% energy renewable by 2050.
Commissioner Saltzman moves. Is there a second? I'll second for the purposes of discussion, and maybe we could take some testimony.
Okay.
Very good.
Thank you.
Sorry. Please go ahead.
Hello, my name is Edith Gillis, and I think that there are many things you can be doing that can be acted on right away, as well as those that you start today with your decision that can build for a future. What you can command happens today can be implemented today. Telling the police to turn off their engines when they are parked, get out of their cars, walk the beat, and do not use military assault vehicles or chemical weapon disperser vehicles. What we can do that's over the longer term is to do more to build our green infrastructure so that we have more chlorophyll plants, including algae, at almost every surface. We can have internalized clean water wheel turbines in our drinking water and in our sewer treatment systems. We can also have that in the rain roof water as it flows down so that we're generating small amounts of electricity. We can also be using a Tesla-style reflective-type energy that is not coming from any of these other sources we've talked about. We can mandate that on every roof owned by the city, whether it's a small latrine or a large facility or parking garage, that that roof produces oxygen and takes out carbon dioxide, cleans the air, produces food, fiber, or fuel with plants, that it collects water and that water is restrained, and that on the roofs we do not have the methane, et cetera, from toilets going into the atmosphere but in pipes going into the ground. On walls, we can require that there be more green structures or greenery growing along the walls. It would reduce our heat sinks. It would produce more oxygen, less carbon dioxide. Our parking lots, we can have biomediation of the pollution in the air and the water. We can have a filtration system, and we can have fire suppression from the collection of water. We can also be using the water tanks as heat masses for water selection. For shelters for the houseless, we can have zero carbon footprint with having bales, hay, straw, hemp, weed, not as in pop, and having sand and earth structures. We can include more lighting, so we use less electricity with our reflective and magnification. We can have greenways that are going to have more resilience against the multiple earthquakes and the explosions and fires from the methane gas pipelines that we have, so that we have not only infrastructure for cooling and for cleaning our air and reducing the energy that has to be used, but also for internal refugee camps for folks who are waiting those years in between housing. So I include all the ways in which you can, starting today, reduce our energy and produce energy.
Thank you. And Carla, could you check the timer? I wasn't awake there because
right
it didn't ring.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I had the beeper was turned off.
Oh, very good.
I've got
okay,
it.
Sorry.
Oh, no. Sorry.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mayor and Council members. I'm David Vantoff. I'm the acting Oregon Director for Climate Solutions, and very pleasure to be here in strong support of this resolution. It's, in our view, a groundbreaking piece of work, and I mean it's been talked about a bit before. Some other cities have looked at trying to meet their electricity needs with 100% through resolutions, but to my knowledge, this is the first city of any size that is taking this ambitious step to say we need to look at all of our energy by 2050 to be 100% renewable. So thank you very much and commendations. Climate Solutions is a regional nonprofit working to accelerate clean energy solutions to the climate crisis. We have submitted written testimony, so I'm going to try and be real brief here to just highlight a few things. We're very supportive of the amendments that you guys have moved forward today with the Verde amendments, the Paris Agreement federal piece, and then with the youth amendment. So thank you for those great improvements to the resolution. And then from a climate solutions perspective, I think we've kind of three general takeaways from this this resolution. And one is don't make it any worse. And thankfully, your resolution is addressing that, saying no new fossil fuel infrastructure development, whether it's new gas plants, new long-term infrastructure or contracts. No, don't make it worse. And that's the first step and a huge step. And then electrify everything is another core part of this resolution that we're strongly supportive of, particularly with respect to public transit. We're appreciative that you highlight the importance for TriMet to rapidly transition to electric buses. I would just note that King County has already announced that they're moving to purchase over 100 electric buses. They've done the analysis. It's the least cost option from a life cycle perspective. And we encourage, I hope that this will help to encourage TriMet to move in that direction rapidly as well. Okay. And then lastly, buildings and the importance of the building codes in making this achievable. Michael talked about that a bit. Thank you, Michael, for your leadership. And just real quickly, we had proposed, and we would again offer up, I think it's in some of the proposed amendments, that you call out net zero energy buildings. It's already in your climate action plan. Reaffirming it in this resolution, I think, would strengthen it with respect to the code language. And would note that at the state level, there's conversations right now around net zero energy building, and the city strongly supporting it would be an excellent signal. So thank you very much for your
very good. Thank you. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Mayor and members of the council. Thank you so much for the opportunity to be here. I'm Jana Gastelum, the Climate Program Director at the Oregon Environmental Council. We've been working on a statewide basis to try and move the state in a similar direction, but it's much slower progress. So I want to thank you for your leadership here today, for putting out strong visions, interim targets, but also that long-term solution. And as part of our broader work, we've been really working on equity-centered approaches to addressing climate change. And we appreciate so much that those same values are echoed in this resolution, and in particular in many of the amendments that you adopted today. So thank you for that as well. I want to spend a little bit of my time talking about the transportation side, since I think that's gotten a little less attention today. As Dave noted, electrification is a really important strategy. We can decarbonize our electric sector, but energy the transportation sector is a huge consumer of energy. And so we've offered up some additional language about how to transform the transportation sector, particularly around freight efficiency, which is a growing source of emissions currently, and also making sure that we're moving to other sources of energy as well, including bike and pedestrian options. But if we're really going to hit community-wide energy targets, we have to address the transportation sector. As we begin implementation, we would love to stay in touch and be a part of that and work with your staff. We want to make sure that we're continuing to support existing programs. There are inevitable bumps along the way when you start to implement things, and there's a lot of learning by doing, and we would love to be part of that process. And a rich stakeholder process will really make sure that there's long-term success in all of that. So thank you so much for your vision and your leadership and continuing to a beacon at a time when it's particularly needed. Thank you.
Thank you. And yes, we would love to have your continued involvement. Thank you.
Thank you.
The next three are Stephen Mador, Alex Anderson Bilou, and Regna Merritt. And they will be followed by Nancy Crump-Packer, Dick Harmon, and Sheila Holden.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. Thank you so much, Mayor Wheeler and the council, for bringing this resolution. So I've worked, I'm Stephen Mador, and I've worked in the renewable energy sector for 10 and a half years prior to my current job. And I currently work for BARC in their outreach. So I want to thank you very much for, and I support adding the forest biomass to the list of energy sources that are excluded from renewable energy sources. Thank you. And, you know, I also I also feel strongly about Verde's language involving their amendments. I've also been considering some language that may be able to add new solar infrastructure to any new developments in the city of Portland. Certain areas like the city of Paris and Germany have adopted resolutions that would require any new construction to include renewable energy sourcing at the site. Also, I am extremely supportive of language that would help to reduce impacts of changing to renewable energy for low-income communities. So thank you for that.
Thank you. Appreciate it. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. Mayor, council members, concerned citizens, and Michael. My name is Alex Anderson Beaulieu. I hold a degree in biology, and I studied under a local environmental scientist, Dr. Sergei Polozov. Portland participated in creating a monumental win for the global community in the fight against climate change by passing into law the prohibition for expansion of fossil fuel transport and storage within this city. I present to you today a graphical representation for the trajectory we faced at the time the resolution was proposed and concurrently the changes by the time the resolution was passed into law. If you will, please find on the horizontal axis mark the indication that represents our present year of 2017, and along the vertical axis line, the mark which indicates the present CO2 levels in the atmosphere as of April 2017. Which was observed to be at 409.01 parts per million, as reported on May 5th, 2017, by the Mauna Loa Observatory in Hawaii. The resulting intersection, if your lines match up accordingly, indicates that we are at the precise moment of divergence for the true trajectories. The difference between them is an estimated loss of 16 years in order to have clean energy implementation in place. This is due to a 10% increase in CO2 emissions within the 1 year, and the projection of that being continued outcome since fossil fuel remains an integral part of our lives. That can change. Based on the information provided before you, we are estimated to reach what the scientific community thinks to be a terminal cap of 500 parts per million of carbon dioxide in the atmosphere, as indicated by the red line on the graph, as soon as the year 2031. We already lost 16 years in 1 year. Provided that there are no additional increases globally for CO2 emissions after today, it is suffice to say that none of us here today are alone in our efforts for a just transition to clean energy. Based on the proposal being discussed, it is apparent that everyone is working hard, phenomenally hard, to find real solutions. I hope that today you make your decision based on evidence and in the best interests of our community. Thank you for your time.
Thank you. We appreciate it. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. I just want to say thank you. I'm thrilled right now with the amendments that have been proposed and accepted. And anyway, my name is Regna Merritt. I'm a former physician assistant and a current director of the Healthy Climate Program at Oregon Physicians for Social Responsibility. Our organization consists of thousands of health professionals across the state who are concerned about public health crises for which there is no cure. We are the bearer of a legacy of doctors from around the world who stood up against the threat of nuclear war during the 20th century in the name of human health and survival. Now we stand with all health professionals and with you, the City Council, to prevent the worst impacts of climate change. Climate scientists speak often of the level of warming after which our planet cannot return to what we experience as normal. Thus, health professionals know that the only prescription for global climate chaos is prevention. So here we are, poised to pass what may be the country, perhaps the world's, most progressive and equitable resolution to commit to 100% clean and renewable energy by 2050. Health professionals are known to be attentive to detail. We know that frack gas cannot be part of a solution to our renewable energy needs. We know that nuclear power and incineration of medical and municipal waste are too dangerous to public health to be considered renewable. So we're really pleased to see that manifest in this resolution. We're also grateful for the amendments earlier, substitutions for green infrastructure and, of course, biomass. We need to protect our amazing carbon sequestering forests. We're happy about the amendments proposed by Verde, and we're happy and proud to make history with this city council. Thank you.
Thank you. Appreciate it. Yes, sir.
Yeah, I just wanted to also make a direct response to Commissioner Salzman's question about hydrogen.
Colleagues, is that acceptable?
Yes.
Great. Thank you. Please continue.
So basically, hydrogen works primarily as a storage mechanism as opposed to actually an energy production, and is in large part, theoretical at this point. I believe that focusing on the energy production would be the best use of this renewable energy proposal. So, and thank you very much for everything that you put into this. So.
Great. Thank you. Appreciate your testimony. Next three, please.
Are Dick Harmon, Sheila Holden, and we'll go with Mark McLeod. And they will be followed by Rachel O'Keefe, Caitlin Dowdy, and Matt Glazewski.
And can I just do a time check to see where we are? I mean, I'm sorry. I know what time it is. There's a giant novelty clock in the back of the chamber. What I really meant was how many more people do we have after those six?
After this, 11.
11.
I think we've lost some.
So we're going to, we are going to lose a quorum.
Yeah, so let's be quick. So if somebody has already given the testimony you want to give, just say, I support that. And if there's new stuff you've got, say, here's the new stuff. And you don't need to thank us. We feel very, very well appreciated today. So you can cut that part out of your speech.
Especially Michael.
And we all know we love Michael. So with those wonderful prefaces, welcome back. Michael. Welcome back.
Okay. Why don't we, sorry, Sheila. What is Dick Harmon or Horman, Mark McLeod or Rachel O'Keefe here? Then what is in Kate? Okay, then come on up. Oh, thank you.
Come on down.
Caitlin Doherty, D-O-U-G-H-T-Y, or Matt Glazewski.
And there's tons of seats down here. If people want to come down, you can certainly just come on down.
And after them, we've got a Steve Elder or Uder, Pam Stosur, Maya Jared, following these people.
Yeah, okay. Is that Maya up there?
Yeah.
Very good. She's here. Good.
Okay. Well, since you said everyone has said it already, my name is Sheila Holden. I'm with Pacific Power. I also have a letter here with me from OWAMI, the Oregon Association of Minority Entrepreneurs, from Sam Brooks. I won't make mention of Michael. Everyone has. I actually date my time back to when we helped start the energy office, which eventually Commissioner Salzman turned into the Sustainability and Planning Department. So I'm really proud of the work that has been done over the years and having been a part of it, both as an individual and as part of Pacific Power. The particular piece that I wanted to speak to today is the resolve that we were just discussing, and I'm not sure if you took a vote on it or not to take out the language, but the language that was in there with an including in the front of it, I think would really speak to why I had talked with some of the folks in the community and recommended it. Too often in the past, we've had issues where we've had laudable efforts that we were wanting to do within the community of the that is most vulnerable, and yet we don't have clear pathways in which we can be assured that they're going to be able to benefit, not just in the future, but right now. And some of the things that were mentioned are priorities within the Climate Action Plan. And so we wanted to mention those as things right now we can be doing in addition to working to find out ways that we can have more community-based solar or community-based renewables. A lot of those things that were listed are things that are going to be important to being able to actually do solar within those communities. Pacific Power has had the majority of the projects that are community-based with solar support come from our Blue Sky program. And a lot of them that you've taught, Mayor, are from the support of the Blue Sky program. And the way the resolve was written could very well eliminate our ability to provide those kind of resources going forward, because it kind of looks like a sounds like a mandate, and we need to have it to be open and more inclusive so that we can make sure we can continue to use the funds we've been using already.
Very good.
So, Sheila, thank you for your testimony, and because I've been struggling with the language, even though we took a vote to delete the additional language, what you've done is put into the record the intent of the language that you sponsored. And I think, actually, to the extent that it is intended to expand opportunities in the equity sphere, not limit, I think you've made a clear point. That's now in the record. So thank you.
Yeah. Thank you. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. Hi, my name is Caitlin Dowdy. I work for a very small nonprofit that's focused on renewable energy in the Pacific Northwest. First, I'd like to thank you all for your work in preparing the renewable energy resolution. Portland's continued leadership on climate issues and renewable energy is particularly relevant in light of our president's recent decision to withdraw from the Paris Agreement. It is important that we encourage the development of renewables such as wind and solar to decrease our dependence on energy that emits carbon and pollutants that impact human health. That said, we disagree with the inclusion of biomass in the renewable energy resolution. If an urban utility is incentivized to use biomass to meet renewable standards, it will create a major, permanent, unsustainable demand stream for woody biomass at large facilities. This will undermine existing uses of small-scale biomass facilities that power schools and hospitals in rural Oregon. Biomass is not an appropriate feedstock for an urban utility. Of course, you've already moved an amendment, and we appreciate your inclusion of the language excluding biomass from public lands. And so I'd like to thank you, because you've already done that, but just wanted to state for the record.
Very good. Thank you. We hope your arm gets well soon.
Thank you. Yeah.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Mayor Wheeler, commissioners. Thank you once again. In the interest of brevity, I will keep my redundant comments out of my testimony. My name is Matt Klazuski, and I live in North Portland. I'm also a credentialed public administrator, and I am a teacher at Portland Community College. I teach a course on global climate change. And one of the paramounts of the course, I actually like to say, is the uplifting part at the end, where I hold up our climate action plan, of which I'm very proud of, and to live in a city that has such a wonderful plan. And my comments, I will just, the new stuff is largely around public utilities and making sure a lot of this goes to Commissioner Fish and to the BES and to the Water Bureau. I work for the BES kind of sister agency in Clackamas County as my day job. And I think that it's important to take every opportunity to ensure that we take a lot of these important initiatives and fold them into our management of our public utilities. Taking every moment whenever there's a pipe that needs to be replaced, taking every chance to say that this can also go toward our renewable energy goals. And I might even suggest, as a matter of just general business for this commission, to put something onto your staff reports that might just say, how does this order of business in whatever thing that comes forward to this council, how does it support this very important initiative that you were considering today? And I think that might always keep this in the forefront of everyone's minds. For every time something comes forward, that you say, how does this move forward with our initiative? And that's it. Thank you very much.
Appreciate it.
That's a great suggestion, sir. Thank you. Like an impact statement.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
Thank you.
The next three are Akash Singh, Steve, I believe it's Elder, Elder, sorry, thank you. And Pam Stosser? Maya Jared? Thank you. And after them will be Julia Dufresne, James Valdez, and Chuck Johnson.
Very good. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. My name is Akash Singh, and I do air quality work and atmospheric chemistry modeling. And for the sake of efficiency and brevity, I would just like to say that I support this resolution and the appropriate amendments, especially in relation to biomass. I would like to say, as a person of color, I would like to echo my support for sustainable, equitable infrastructure in marginalized neighborhoods. People of color have, are, and will continue to bear a disproportionate impact from the consequences of climate change. Going forward, I would recommend the implementation of these resolutions include the voices of marginalized communities and community organizations in order to correct decades of injustice. Thanks.
Thank you. Thank you. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. My name is Steve Elder. I'm a resident of Northeast Portland, and I'm here as an individual, and I would tell the council that I support the goals of the resolution, and I'd ask for just a couple of considerations. The American Council of Energy Efficient Enterprise has recently come out. It doesn't need to be over the next 20 or 30 years. Some things can be done now, can be done over the next year. A recent survey that they've published shows Portland being tied for fourth among cities using energy efficiency in the country, behind Seattle.
That makes us the third loser.
First was Boston, then was New York, then was Seattle.
You know how to hurt us. You know how to hurt us.
So there's something that can be worked upon right now. We can, you know, get one of these foam pads and say, you know, we're number two or we're number three. And another thing is, one of the earlier witnesses suggested that in Europe and in other countries, there are requirements that new construction have incorporated renewable energy and energy efficient techniques. My family is right now the only one that I know of that's building a duplex in the 97211 area or zip code, which I've walked up and down, and I see carbon guzzling excrescences being built all the time, gigabyte monsters houses that nobody can afford to live in. But they have no ceiling, solar panels. They have minimum code insulation. This is something that it's not before the council today, but it's something that I wish the council would keep an open mind to. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Appreciate it. Good afternoon.
Hi, my name is Maya Jared. I'm a staff member at 350 PDX, but I'm on staycation, so I'm speaking as an individual today. I wanted to outline that today we've been talking about the goals of having a just transition to renewable energy, and I would like to articulate that for me the goal is not a transition to renewable energy, but that we see renewable energy as a stepping stone to a justice-based, equitable, and safe climate society. And so those goals, to me, also include democratically controlled energy, distributed energy, and massively reducing energy use. So not just we want to move to renewable energy, but also let's look at what the real end game is. I really appreciate this resolution, and I also appreciate that you've put a number, 50%, on the workforce that you will be using to make this happen. 50% will be used 50% of the workforce to make this happen will be put towards women-owned, minority-owned, and emergent businesses. That's amazing. I also would like to see a number defining the amount of investments put into the energy infrastructure actually located in those communities. There's a clause alluding to investments being placed in community-facing organizations, but we don't have a number or even a percentage that would be put towards that. So it would be really impressive if we could put 25 or 50%. And that would be investments in communities that right now are facing extreme violence and racism and need support to help repair from the historical exploitation that's happened, and also the structural racism that's built into Oregon and Portland's political systems and social systems. Even as I came in the door today, I was told at bag check, it's okay, we trust you. And this is not the experience that many of the people who've come to testify on racially charged issues have seen as they come into this building or have just not been able to come into this building at all. So as we're putting a lot of effort into equity in our climate policies, let's think about also what conversations are we excluding the people that we're writing into this policy from having here at City Hall.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I appreciate it.
Was there a Pam Stosser? Okay. Then we'll go with Julia Dufresne. I believe James Valdez already spoke. Okay, thanks. Chuck Johnson. And Jim Howell. Here comes. And then the last two I have after Mr. Howell will be Susan Monson and Katie Gould.
All right. Thank you so much for this opportunity to testify. My name is Julia DeGraw, and I am the Northwest organizer with Food and Water Watch. We're an organization that is working to create and protect a safe food system and clean and public water for all. And here in Oregon, we have a group of supporters that's around 30,000, and I think a good portion of that's in the Portland area, but I don't have the exact number today. We support 100% renewables by the year 2035 because we recognize that all of the work that we do to protect these essential resources is all for naught if we can't get it right with climate change. So it's really exciting to see the city of Portland leading the way, and especially with the goal of getting 100% renewable for the energy provided to the community by 2035, meeting that standard. We're really excited about that. We also support the amendments that have been passed today, although we would like to see just a clear exemption on biomass because I think there is a little too much wiggle room in there. But aside from that, I just want to say that, you know, in Trump's America, it's really up to the localities and municipalities to take the lead on these issues. And it's really exciting to see the community involvement that you've used to get to this point. And we really encourage you to continue to look at this through an equity and environmental justice lens and continue working with these groups as you implement this policy because, as it was said earlier, the devil's always in the details and in the implementation, and we're really hoping that you can continue to engage the community as you move forward.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor and commissioners. My name is Chuck Johnson. I'm the director of the Nuclear Power Task Force for Oregon and Washington Physicians for Social Responsibility, and I'm a member of the U.S. Department of Energy's Hanford Advisory Board. Together with Multnomah County and our state and local partners throughout the United States and the competitive market itself, we are accomplishing the remarkable feat with this resolution and the good work that you're doing of rendering President Trump's withdrawal from the Paris Climate Treaty functionally irrelevant. Thank you also for including nuclear power on the list of non-renewable resources. Increasingly, due to the safety and cost considerations, nuclear power is receding into the past. It remains illegal to build nuclear power plants in Oregon due to public vote in 1980. Requiring a permanent nuclear waste repository for the lethal waste created by nuclear power plants. The price of wind, solar, conservation, battery backup is coming down so rapidly that Robert McCullough and McCullough Research Economics Firm estimate that we can use them to affordably replace the 33-year-old nuclear power plant still operating in the Northwest, the Columbia Generating Station, a Fukushima-style GE boiling water reactor, formerly known as Washington Public Power Supply System Number 2, or WHOOPS 2, on the Hanford Nuclear Reservation along the Columbia River. The Seattle City Council and Mayor unanimously last year voted for a phase-out of the CGS nuclear plant and carbon-free replacement. Which is significant because their municipal utility is one of the is on the board of Energy Northwest, which governs that nuclear plant. And we appreciate you recognizing this in your you know, although tangentially in your resolution. Returning to the resolution, again, thank you for supporting it, and I would add one last little joke that I heard probably first in 1970 about fusion energy, which is it's the energy of the future and always will be, or it's 20 years off and always will be. If it did come to pass, I think you're right, Commissioner Saltzman, that we would want to revisit and consider it. Thank you very much.
Appreciate it. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Mayor Wheeler. My name is Jim Howell. I represent Aorta Association Oregon, or Rail and Transit Advocates. We support the goals of this resolution. What I'd like to speak briefly about is the inconsistency of the city of Portland between its climate action plan and its transportation plan. In a transportation plan that you have adopted, you've included a $500 million freeway expansion in the heart of the city, and also included over $1 billion worth of freeways in the region. And we consider any freeway expansion as being, it basically attracts more automobiles, more traffic, and more pollution, and therefore it's inconsistent with this goal, and we would like you to reconsider your support of the regional transportation plan, which is such a highway-oriented plan.
Thank you, sir. Valid point. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Good afternoon.
And the last...
Good afternoon, Carla. How are you doing?
I'm good, thank you.
Good, I'm losing my mind, apparently. Next three, please.
I show the last two signed up
last
are
two.
Susan
good.
Munson and Katie Gould.
And Rachel O'Keefe.
Oh, I'm sorry, Rachel. Yes, and Rachel was called earlier. Sorry.
Very good. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. Mayor, commissioners, my name is Rachel O'Keefe. I'm giving testimony on behalf of myself, as well as all of those in my generation, that are concerned about climate change and its effect on our planet and our lives. I support the amendment made to exclude energy derived from fossil fuels, nuclear waste incineration, and especially biomass feedstocks from federal and state lands. Not only do we need to move towards 100% renewable energy by 2050, we need to protect our national forests. They are a carbon reserve and an important part of the Pacific Northwest identity. And the exclusion of biomass from public lands is a great step towards making our national forests officially protected as carbon sequestration areas. We've heard a lot of testimony from people of many ages today, and I want to say as a person in their 20s, not representing any organization, but just as a concerned individual for my future and my children's future, that I want to thank you for making Portland a national leader in building a clean energy future. Thank you.
Thank you. Good afternoon.
Hi, I'm Katie Gould, and I'm concerned that most of the language in this resolution is specific to electricity, despite the fact that transportation is the largest source of fossil fuel emissions in Multnomah County. As you know, statewide, we're not seeing emission reductions anymore from 2014 to 15. The latest year we have data, we increased 6% overall, with the majority of that increase, 60%, coming from transportation. Unlike utilities, our transportation choices are deeply ingrained into our daily routines, our personal finances, and our emotions. Major changes in our transportation system come at a high political risk, as long as parking and congestion are top citizen complaints. I urge you to set intermediate milestones specific to transportation along the way to 2050 to ensure we're on track, and or a moratorium on new transportation infrastructure that is projected to increase our emissions. 33 years is too many to be able to wait for an easier year, another legislative session, or a future technology. Shifting our transportation planning from optimizing for vehicle throughput to emission reduction will not be met without great difficulty or resistance from both citizens and transportation agencies alike. We need as many tools as possible in this resolution to support this council and future leaders of Portland to make these hard changes to see these goals through.
Thank you. And perfectly timed. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. My name is Susan Monson, and I am reading testimony for Deborah Romarin. Hmm? She writes, she's a Portland business owner. She writes, I just finished a college course on the science of climate change and paleoclimatology, and I'd like to share a few facts. Over the past 600 million years, there have been six major extinctions. We all know about the meteor-driven dinosaur extinction, but the other five have been caused by climate changes brought about by natural shifts like those to the Earth's orbit, the Earth's tilt, and its wobble. But those huge climatic changes, which resulted in mass extinctions, took place over hundreds of thousands of years. Today, since the Industrial Revolution, we are altering the Earth's climate 5,000 times faster than the pace of the most natural warming period in our planet's past. Read ever. There is nothing natural about the altering of our climate today. Here's the takeaway. It's us. We all know it's us. We humans, with our fossil fuels, are doing in a flash what it takes Mother Nature many millennia to do. The last time CO2 was at today's level of 407 parts per million, humans did not even exist. In the past 800,000 years, a period for which scientists have ice core records, methane naturally varied from 350 to 800 parts per billion. This year, methane topped a whopping 2,500 parts per billion. According to NASA, our average temperature has increased 2 degrees Fahrenheit during the modern era, but did you know that even if greenhouse gases were stabilized right now, the climate will still warm another 1.1 degree Fahrenheit? It's baked in the cake. While others dither and engage in counterfeit debates about the climate, Portland has been singular in its past willingness to take action to move us off fossil fuels. Today, we can join with Aspen, Los Angeles, San Francisco, Santa Barbara, Ithaca, New York, Georgetown, Texas, and other cities across the U.S. to join the 100% Renewable Energy Club. Let's be one of the leaders once again, and I'm sure she would thank you.
And Michael.
And Michael.
Yeah. Very good.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.
Mayor, I have an amendment I'd like to offer.
I just want to make clear, is that the end of public testimony now?
That's all who were able
good.
To sign up.
Okay. Commissioner Saltzman.
Yeah, I think we just heard some testimony. I think Mr. Wozniak, maybe? I thought he had a good suggestion that every city, and so my amendment would say that all city impact statements accompanying a resolution or an ordinance should discuss how they contribute to the 100% renewable energy goal.
Second.
So we have a motion from Commissioner Saltzman, a second from Commissioner Fish.
That would be a resolved at the end, I guess.
Any further discussion on this item?
I like it.
I think it's great. Call the roll. I won't tell you how I'm going to vote till I get to it, though. Call the roll.
Fish.
I'm still not telling you how I'm going to vote. No. Aye.
Saltzman.
Aye.
Udaly.
Aye.
Wheeler.
Aye. Very common sense amendment. Thank you for offering
Mayor, let's,
it up.
Let's take up Dan's. Fish. Dan has an amendment that hasn't been voted on.
So Commissioner Saltzman moved. I seconded it for the purposes of discussion. It was regarding the renewable energy, hydro, wind, solar, geothermal, biogas, ocean, motion.
Hydrogen. Energy. Yeah, hydrogen in there somewhere.
Yes, et cetera, et cetera. And I don't know if you want to have further discussion on that point.
Well, I would just say that several people have noticed that transportation accounts for 40% of our fuel consumption. Hydrogen has one of the best promises to transition fossil fuel consumption in our transportation sector to a renewable resource. And, in fact, Honda and Toyota are presently marketing hydrogen-fueled vehicles in California, and they're looking at New England as well. And it may be imperfect, derived from a natural gas feedstock base, and I'm fine with disqualifying on that assumption, but I think for us to totally eliminate hydrogen power as a source of renewable energy, I think is really missing the boat in terms of the best potential we have to back out fossil fuel transportation fuels.
Commissioner Udaly?
I'm hesitant to adopt this language just because of all the work that went into writing this ordinance and wanting to make sure we have feedback from the community and from the stakeholders. However, if we do move ahead with this vote, I'd like to suggest that if we're going to add hydrogen to the list of renewables, then we should add language in the exclusion list that says hydrogen produced from fossil fuels would be excluded.
Yeah, I'd be fine with that.
Would you accept that as an amendment to?
Yes.
Okay.
That's a friendly amendment.
That is a friendly amendment. And
so let's just vote on it.
Very good. There's no objection to it. Please call the roll.
Fish?
Dan, I appreciate you raising this, but I think it's out of sequence, and so I'm going to vote no.
Saltzman.
Well, I'm not sure what you mean by out of sequence, but I thought that the City Council is part of the proper sequence, even though we come last in the process. I still thought we were part of the sequence, so I do feel this fits in, and indeed it is a renewable fuel, and it's something that we should not be overlooking, particularly because its contribution to reducing fossil fuels in the transportation sector is significant. And I think with Commissioner Udaly's parallel amendment saying that we will not support it from a fossil fuel drive source even makes it better, cleaner even. So I vote aye.
Udaly?
Aye.
Wheeler?
Aye. The amendment is accepted.
Mayor,
Commissioner
I have
Fish.
An additional amendment. Which I want to, we have some language in the resolution around workforce training and equity, but we don't have clear language about high road standards, so I want to offer this amendment. Be it further resolved, city projects and procurements under this proposal will use proven policies to ensure the jobs created are high-quality, family-wage jobs that meet our high standards of workforce inclusion for women and communities of color.
I'll second that.
Commissioner Fish moves. Commissioner Udaly seconds. Any further discussion?
I'll just say that this is the intent of this is to restate our high road standards for jobs and make clear that we're talking about family wage jobs.
Appreciated. Please call the roll.
Aye.
Saltzman?
Aye.
Udaly?
Aye.
Wheeler?
Aye. The amendment is adopted.
Mayor, one last
Commissioner
item,
Fish.
More like housekeeping. I was keeping track. Well, let's break for dinner and we'll come back. So our friends from the Oregon Environmental Council raised a couple of issues. I think since they're in the record, I believe they're more in the nature of implementation issues than amendments. So I won't offer them, but they're in the record. And I think with respect to standards with TriMet and other things, I think we should look to those as issues to be taken up with implementation. So with that, I have no further amendments.
Noted. Thank you, colleagues. Any further amendments? Colleagues, I've been asked to read a statement from Commissioner Fritz. Unfortunately, the hearing on this important from City Commissioner Amanda Fritz. Unfortunately, the hearing on this important issue is scheduled for a date on which I had previously notified the council clerk that I will be out of town on vacation with my daughter. Support of clean, renewable energy has been a core principle for me in every term I've served on the council. I was the council leader on opposing coal trains during Mayor Adams' administration. I gained council support for a similar resolution on oil trains, and I partnered with Mayor Hills in the successful council ordinance banning the expansion of fossil fuel facilities in Portland. I also helped defeat the proposed Pembina propane terminal proposal. Especially in light of the reckless actions of the federal government today, I will continue advocating for the principle of saving our planet. I strongly support this latest City Council resolution, and I thank my colleagues on the Council and our community partners for once again setting Portland on the right course of action. And I'm sure if she were here, she'd also add, and thank you, Michael. So, colleagues, and for those of you watching, what we have now done is we have adopted a series of amendments to the substitute resolution. And what we will now do is take up the main motion, in other words, the substitute resolution as amended. Is there any further discussion, comments, questions on the main motion? Hearing none, please call the roll.
Fish.
Well, I want to begin by thanking Mayor Wheeler and Commissioner Udaly for the leadership they took to bring this resolution to council, and I'm proud to join my friend and colleague Dan Saltzman in co-sponsoring it. And I want to also acknowledge the work of your Jamie, and who worked tirelessly on this, and also Nathan from the mayor's office, who was in the point. on my team, Jamie Dumphy and Amira Streeter. I want to thank them for the work that they did. You know, I wish, Mayor, that every time this administration takes an action which moves us backward, we could have the foresight.
You don't mean my administration, do you?
The federal administration.
Very good. Thank you. Just being clear.
That's a friendly amendment. I wish every time the federal administration took us backward, we had the foresight to have on the day of an announcement something positive on the council agenda to counter it. I fear, however, we would not get any other work done if we were just matching up all the bad things that they're doing. But there is something richly symbolic about on the very day that this announcement was made, an announcement which the president thought was so important, he held a press conference in the Rose Garden, a place that's usually reserved for the most important announcements of an administration. But nonetheless, that we are on this very day able to take up this resolution. So I'm pleased that we are doing this. I'm very proud to support this resolution. And we had some testimony about the role that the public utilities can take in advancing this agenda. And I think if the mayor decides to reassign the public utilities to me, I will take that charge very seriously. And there's enormous opportunities with our public utilities, from land that we can put more solar facilities to engaging hydropower to from the dam to continuing with our ambitious agenda to turn poop into power. And I did, someone said we should expand on it, so I would just ask you to go to the bathroom more frequently, and that I think is when we will get there. But the utilities do have a significant role to play. Michael Armstrong, everybody has noted since you've announced your departure what a pleasure it has been to work with you. I'll just add a personal note. When I got on the council and when we started to deal with some of these very forward-looking initiatives, as a new member of the council, I felt I needed additional coaching to make sure I understood the issue and the context and sort of like a boot camp. And you spent a lot of time in my office helping me to understand these policies and why they're important, and to deepen my understanding. And for that, I'm extremely grateful, because I know that I'm not alone. You've done that in this community, helping to explain and advance this agenda. So I appreciate that. In 2050, I will be 91 years old. And I'm going to make a bold prediction. I will not be serving on this council. But maybe, just maybe, my grandchild will, or a grandchild will. And I think what we're doing today is going to pave the way for a clean energy future and a much brighter future for my grandchildren, and for that I'm extremely grateful. Thank you. Aye.
Saltzman.
Portland has a proud history of setting the standard on how to integrate the city's built and natural environments and how we can further sustainability in that regard. This was the premise of the Office of Sustainable Development, which I brought forward for council approval in 2001. And it's now become the Office of Sustainability, or the Bureau of Planning and Sustainability. But it started Portland's commitment to renewable energy in a serious manner back then, as well as green building policy. And I want to thank Michael Armstrong, because he was really at the core of that work, even way back then, in helping provide Portland with its international reputation as a leader. And I think he also brings an uncanny ability to make people respect his viewpoints, because I think he approaches them in a very rational, unbiased manner. He reaches, I think, the right conclusions often in terms of sustainability policy, but he does it in a way that is reassuring to people, even if they may disagree with him or us in our particular position. So, again, thank you, Michael, for all you've done. This resolution represents a core value of Portlanders and furthers our commitment to live as lightly on the land as possible. I'm proud to support it and state my appreciation for all of the organizations and advocates that participated in its creation. Thank you especially to Mayor Wheeler and Commissioner Udaly and your staffs for your leadership in putting this all together. Aye.
Udaly.
This is the peril of going third every time. They always beat me to the punch, but I have some prepared remarks today, which is rare, so just so I don't forget anything. So today I'm proud to be part of this moment in Portland's history when we clearly and firmly articulated our vision of a healthy future for generations to come. Much of this resolution requires that we be creative, reach beyond what is immediately possible, and stay in touch with the latest and greatest developments in environmental technology. I'm excited about what Portland might be like in about 30 years when I will be, oh gosh.
Don't say it. Stop bragging.
35.
Stop showing off.
40?
You made your point. You'll be eligible for a driver's license, just to put it there that way.
The engagement process on this resolution was robust.